welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode is brought to you by you, our members. Those of you who have done a recurring subscription, and those of you on Patreon, I deeply appreciate it. Let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is going to be Challenge of the Yukon. Hope you enjoy, and again, thanks for listening.
Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present the Challenge of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
Run, King! Run, you huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog Yukon King as they meet the Challenge of the Yukon. Say, get set. Right here and now comes the big news. Quaker Puffed Wheat and Rice, the delicious ready-to-serve breakfast cereal shot from guns, are announcing a terrific new contest for all you listeners. We'll tell you all about it later in today's program. Better have pencil and paper ready. Listen to how you can win a bike. Yes, learn how easy it is to win a fully equipped Schwinn Deluxe bicycle worth over $79. You'll hear all about it in just a few minutes. Captain Matt Oliver, the head of the Oliver Steamship Company, and the skipper of the Margaret O, was a worried young man. He was watching the Yukon Trading Company's gold shipment being stowed away in the forward cabin. But it was the weather rather than the gold that etched the lines in his forehead. The sun was shining, and yet there was a touch of crispness in the air. It was late in the year for a boat to be starting north from Dawson on the long trip to St. Michael on the ocean. But Matt tried to smile and seem confident as he saw John Archer, the manager of the trading company, coming toward him.
Good morning, Mr. Archer.
Is it?
What's that?
I asked if there were a good morning.
Hey, it's clear and cool. It's a fine day.
A little too cool, don't you think? I'd say there was a hint of winter in the air.
Perhaps.
Is it too late, Captain?
Too late for what?
You know as well as I do. You've been 2 weeks repairing your engines. This gold must reach St. Michael in time to be loaded in the Portland Belle before she sails for Seattle.
She doesn't sail for a month, sir.
30 days, to be exact.
A month, yes.
The freeze-up will come long before that.
The Margaret O's made it to St. Michael in 14 days.
The freeze-up may come in less than 14 days.
I don't think so, Mr. Archer.
I do.
Well, if it does, sir, we'll have covered most of the ground. We can ship the gold on by dog sled, and it'll reach the Portland Belle in time. Is there any objection to that, sir?
Oh, none at all. Let me tell you this. Unless it's delivered on time, the Yukon Trading Company won't renew its contract with you.
You mean you'll be giving your business to Vincent next year?
Yes.
In spite of the fact he isn't honest?
Not honest? You have any proof of that?
No, sir. But our engine trouble was caused by a man. And I suspect that man was in Vincent's pay.
You're making a serious accusation.
I mean it to be.
Why don't you go to the police?
Because I've admitted that I have no proof, sir.
Well, proof would be necessary for me to be convinced.
A contract with you would mean a lot to Vincent. He's doing everything in his power to get it.
A contract with us should mean a great deal to you, Captain. I hope you'll do everything in your power to keep it.
You can rest assured of that, Mr. Archer.
Good. Oh, you have no questions about the papers covering the gold?
None, sir. You're leaving in less than 2 hours.
Nothing more need be said. And nothing will change our decision. If the gold isn't delivered on time, Vincent gets our next year's contract. I wish you good luck, Captain.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Jane, the captain's wife, had been listening to the conversation from the door of her cabin. And now she hurried to Matt's side and took his arm.
Don't worry, Matt.
There's a bite in the air, Janie.
Oh, we'll make it, honey.
If nothing more goes wrong.
Oh, what can? You're sure of your crew.
I know.
Captain Oliver!
is that?
Why, it's Vincent down in the dock.
Oh, I see him now.
And that's Johnny Barrault with him.
Captain Oliver!
What do you want?
Are you really leaving for St. Michael?
In 2 hours.
I didn't know the Margaret was an icebreaker.
He won't have to be.
My bet is the freeze-up will come within a week.
You're hoping, you mean?
$1,000.
There's more than that at stake, and you know it. But you haven't won yet.
And you won't either.
Vincent and Johnny Barrault turned away from the Margaret O and started for Dawson's main street. The smile had faded from Vincent's thin lips, and his eyes were cold and calculating. Johnny Barrault watched him closely.
Well, boss, there's nothing more to do, huh? It's winter that settles the bet, Doc.
Winter can use a little help.
Huh?
I've just come back from 40 Mile.
I know.
The Margaret O stops there to pick up 6 passengers.
Yeah?
That's all she has room for. All the tickets have been sold.
There must be plenty more like to go on, huh?
Plenty. At least 100. Now listen, Johnny.
Yeah?
I want you and a half dozen of the boys to ride up to 40 Mile.
Today?
This minute. Get the fastest horses in town. You can make it before the boat gets there.
And then what?
You'll have a talk with all those men who want to get out of the Yukon before winter sets in.
Mm.
You've got to convince them there's plenty of room on the Margaret O. And that all they have to do is get aboard. Once they have, then nobody can get off.
Vincent gave Johnny Barrault detailed instructions. And half an hour later, he and 6 other men were riding hard along the trail to 40 miles.
Help! Keep moving, boys. Only have an hour's start. Got to get there before the boat. Help! Help!
4 hours later, they reached the town, the last settlement in Yukon Territory. They pulled their winded mounts to a halt in front of the largest cafe near the waterfront.
Follow me, men.
Once inside, they pushed their way to the bar. Johnny immediately started talking to the stranger next to him.
Margaret O comes in soon now, huh?
Yeah, but don't mean nothing to me.
Huh? You stay here for the winter?
Not on your life. I'll have to wait for snow and trek down to Skagway by dog team.
Why do you do that? Much easier to go by boat.
Any fool knows that. But the Margaret O's loaded. She's only taken on 6 passengers here.
She will take on me and my friends, too.
Not unless you get a ticket.
We will pay. You've got to have a ticket. Listen, as soon as a gang plank goes down, we will go on board. And after that, let them try and put us off. Eh, boy?
There's no room.
There is room for 100 more on that boat. We'll sleep on the deck. We'll carry our own food.
Say, I wouldn't mind doing that myself.
Well, why do you not come too?
That's a good idea.
If there are enough of us, we can make the captain take us along.
Well, he might just tie up and refuse to leave until we get off.
He will not do that because soon the ice will be here, and he must get to St. Michael before the river freezes.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Sure.
Say, Joe, the Frenchie here's got an idea. Maybe there's a chance we can get to go with him. Hey, fellas, did you check out?
Johnny's idea spread through the cafe in the town. An hour later, when the Margaret O rounded the bend above 40 Mile, there were over 100 miners waiting on the dock, all eager to get out of the territory before winter. A little steamer swung in from the middle of the river and pulled into the landing.
All right, make those lines fast. You men on the dock, stand back. Only those who have tickets will be allowed aboard.
We know that, Captain.
Lower away, Al.
Johnny and the men he had brought from Dawson had picked up axes in town, and they were standing just behind the front rank of miners. When the gangplank was lowered, the whole crowd surged forward. Johnny and his men fought their way through it, and Johnny led the way to the stern of the boat.
This way, men.
Their destination was the housing that protected the paddle wheel. When they had reached it, they started smashing through it with their axes. At that moment, Sergeant Preston was riding into town from the north. The great dog King ran easily beside him, and the sergeant urged his mount forward as he heard the noise from the waterfront.
Come, fella! That sounds like trouble, King.
As they neared the end of the main street, they could see the struggling figures on the lower deck of the Margaret O.
A fight, King, and a big one. Oh, now, hold easy there.
Sergeant reined up, dismounted, and ran up the gangplank.
All right, men, break it up. Break it up in the name of the law.
Sergeant Preston!
What's going on here, Captain?
All these men. They insist on coming along with us. We haven't got room for them.
All right, Captain, I'll take care of it.
Matt, come quick. There's a man in the stern.
What's the matter, Jane?
There's a man in the stern that got axes
and they're wrecking the paddle wheel.
Wrecking the paddle wheel.
Go on, King.
Sergeant King and the captain headed aft at top speed. Johnny and his men saw the sergeant's red coat. They threw their axes overboard and made a break for the port side of the boat.
Stop them, King!
King sprang forward at his master's command, cut off the men's retreat, and drove them back toward the stern of the boat.
Pull him up, Sergeant! You got us!
All right, King.
Look what you've done to that paddle wheel.
All of you men are under arrest.
It's Vincent's work. He sent them here.
What do you mean by that?
That one's Johnny Burrow. He works for Vincent. And Vincent gets the Yukon Trading Company contract next year. If I don't make it to St. Michael before the freeze.
I didn't have known anything about Vincent. I used the axe because I wish to ride in the boat. I'm mad when the captain will not let me.
Oh, that's your story.
Is that true?
You're going to jail for this, you know.
Too bad.
Too bad nothing. They go to jail, but Vincent gets the contract and pays them off when they get out.
Isn't there any chance of repairing the damage?
Oh, of course there is, man.
Now, it's a question of time, Sergeant. I'll need material from Dawson.
When I take these men to headquarters, I'll have it sent up. Let me have a list.
All right. You're a good friend, Sergeant, but...
You haven't lost yet, Matt.
No, Sergeant. But there's no way to stop the winter once it's on its way.
We'll continue our story in just a moment. Now, hold everything! Here's the best news since gold was discovered in the Yukon. Here's a chance for you to win a bike. A brand new, shiny new, fully equipped Schwinn Deluxe Auto Cycle. The world's finest bicycle.
Say, imagine owning this dream bike, and here's your chance. Quaker Puffed Wheat and Rice, the swell taste in cereal shot from guns, are offering 101 Schwinn Deluxe Auto Cycles, each worth over $79, and in the easiest, most fun contest ever.
Listen to this. The bike you win is fully equipped. It has these sensational features.
Hand-operated front and rear fast-stopping expander brakes.
Patented cantilever frame, plus exclusive Schwinn spring fork to absorb rough road shocks.
Slipstream built-in electric fender light, in addition to kickstand, chain guard, streamlined tank, battery container, and horn.
What's more, each of these 101 key new bikes is equipped with a new Stuart Warner Golden Meteor speedometer. And a bike pilot compass.
Say, these bikes have everything. Even white wall balloon tires. Models for boy contest winners are sparkling maroon with ivory trim.
Girl winners get special fully equipped smart blue models. They're beauties, too.
Grand prize winner also receives a Zenith Z-Net radio for his or her bike.
And now listen carefully. Here's how you enter this easy contest.
Just finish this sentence in 15 additional words or less. My favorite college pennant on the Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice package is...
And here's how easy it is to finish that sentence. Simply pick up a package of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice. Look at the back of the package. On the back, you'll find a series of colorful flags.
Pick out your favorite and tell us why you like it.
No fancy writing necessary. Here are examples to help you. My favorite college pennant on the Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice package is Notre Dame. I like it because Notre Dame has swell football teams.
Or, I like the Pennsylvania flag because its colors, red and blue, are my favorite colors.
That's all there is to it. You can easily do better. Just a few simple words of your own can win you the world's finest bike. A fully equipped Schwinn Deluxe Auto Cycle with a retail value of over $79. Jot down your entry on a piece of paper. Include your name and address, printed plainly. Mail with one box top, from any package of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice. Send it right away to Bike Contest, Box 600, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
With each entry, be sure to attach one box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice. Send no money.
Mail today without delay to Bike Contest, Box 600, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Bike Contest, Box 600, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Now to continue our story. Johnny Burrow and his men were taken back to Dawson and put in jail for wrecking the paddle wheel of the Margaret O. Sergeant Preston saw to it that the necessary materials for the repairs were sent to 40 Mile at once, and the captain and his crew went to work.
Keep at it, boys! If you want to spend your winter in the States, let's go!
Night and day they worked, and on the evening of the fifth day, it seemed that the Margaret O would be ready to leave her berth in the morning. But the crew had lost its enthusiasm. The weather had changed.
Matt, wouldn't you like to come into the galley and have some hot coffee?
No, thanks, dear.
How's the work going?
We're almost finished.
Oh, that's fine, honey.
Is the barometer still falling?
Why, I haven't looked.
Tell the truth, darling.
Yes, it's much lower. There's going to be a storm.
No doubt about it. And from the looks of the sky and the bite in that wind, it's going to be a blizzard.
Oh, a little snow doesn't matter.
Not if it doesn't get cold enough to...
Don't say it, Matt.
But there was no point in holding the words back. The blizzard struck. Now the temperature continued to fall. Below freezing. Down and down below zero. And still down. With startling suddenness, the Northland found itself in the grip of winter's icy hand. Matt and Jane braved the wind to watch the film settling over the surface of the Yukon. By morning, the ice would be several inches thick. Jane squeezed her husband's hand. There was an answering pressure, but they avoided each other's eyes. The roaring wind was sounding the end of their hopes. The following morning, Jane tried to be cheerful as she cooked breakfast in the little galley adjoining their cabin.
Flapjacks, Matt. Come and get them.
I'm not hungry, Jane.
Oh, well, you will be, honey, when you see them.
No, really, Jane,
Oh, don't
hungry.
Be so downhearted. We're warm and we have plenty of food. Why, this is going to be a wonderful place to spend the winter.
It's the earliest ice we've had in years. Just two more weeks.
Don't worry about it. Something will happen. It's fun.
Listen. Look out the porthole.
I am. Why, it's Sergeant Preston.
Let's see.
He's driving a dog team.
From now on, that'll be the only way to travel up here.
I couldn't...
What?
Nothing. King and he are coming on board. Let's make them welcome.
A few minutes later, the sergeant and King were in the captain's cabin, and Jane was serving breakfast to them both.
Here you are, King. Does this suit you? I'm glad.
Yes, sir. That's a wonderful team you have, Sergeant.
Well, except for King, my team's down in Whitehorse. These are all green Labradors.
Mm-hmm. Where are you heading?
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. I'm on leave right now.
Leave? Well, you might have picked better weather.
Not for King. Matt, didn't you tell me it made no difference how you delivered the gold to St. Michael, just as long as it reached there in time for the Portland Bell sailing?
Let's not talk about it.
I want to, Matt. She sails in 23 days, right?
That's right. St. Michael is 1,200 miles from here. There's no possible way of getting the goal there.
I wonder.
Sergeant.
What's the matter with you, Jim? Oh,
I know what he's thinking. You can do it, Sergeant. With King in the lead, I know you can. Oh, please, I don't have to tell you what it would mean to us.
What are you suggesting?
She's suggesting 1,200 miles in 23 days.
By dog sled, it can't be done.
Perhaps not.
Matt, he made a trip from Athabasca to Hay River and then down to Saskatchewan in less than 40 days. On a patrol, stopping, and why, that was over 1,400 miles.
I've heard the story.
You did it, didn't you, Sergeant?
I don't have my own team here, Jane. It'll be King and seven green Labradors. Whether you can whip them into shape on the trails, more than I can answer right now.
Will you try it?
You want me to, Matt?
Of course.
We sure do.
All right, then. We'll start this morning.
Can I come with you to find out, to make sure?
Why not?
Jane, my park and mucklucks, where are they? My shotgun.
Oh, you finish your breakfast and let the sergeant finish his. I'll get your things.
Okay. St. Michael, here we come.
An hour later, the gold and supplies had been loaded on the sled. And because of the weight, King was harnessed instead of working as a loose lead. Matt climbed aboard. The sergeant stepped on the running board and released the brake.
All set?
All set.
Bye, Matt. Bye, Sergeant. Bye, King. Goodbye and good luck.
Goodbye, honey.
On King! On!
1,200 miles of snow-covered wilderness lay ahead. 1,200 miles to be traveled in 23 days. At first, the sergeant kept to the bank of the river. But as the cold weather continued, the ice on the Yukon became thicker. And King practically asked for permission to head out into its frozen surface.
You think it's safe, boy? Go ahead.
The dogs made better time on the river. But only 300 miles were covered in the first 7 days. By that time, King had taught the green team their job, and they worked together perfectly. 400 miles were covered the second week. And then, on the 14th day...
King's stopping, Sergeant. There's something wrong.
All right, boy. Ho there. There's something wrong with Mogo. He hasn't been pulling the way he should. Yes, King, we'll take a look at him. Now then, Mogo.
Has he cut his foot?
No, you can see the coverings I put on him aren't even worn through. I'll get him out of harness. Now, how about this leg, boy?
He's lame.
Yes. You're going to ride the sled for a while, Mogul.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Sergeant.
Huh? Why?
Well, I've been told that if a dog can't pull, one lets him run behind. And that if he can't keep up, well, that's all there is to it. I thought it was a law of the trail.
It's a law I don't mind breaking.
I'm glad.
There you are, Mogul. That suit you, King? I thought so. All right, boy.
And King! On, you husky!
15, 16, 17 days. Once more, the little party traveled on the river. But King was forced to slacken his pace to suit the weaker members of the team. Another difficulty arose. It was the sergeant's first experience with Labradors, and he hadn't realized they needed more food than King. The supply was running short, and in that barren country close to the Arctic Circle, there seemed no way to replenish it. Toward evening on the 18th day...
Will you be making camp soon, Sergeant?
Yes, the team needs a rest. We'll stop at that cove up ahead.
What about the dog's rations? Are you going to cut them down?
Not till I have to.
Don't you have to?
We can't expect them to work well, Matt, unless they're well fed.
Yes, but there isn't enough food to last until we get to St. Michael. And how can you get any more? We can't fish. There's no game. I haven't seen a living thing for days.
What is it, King?
He's looking at something on the bank.
Looking? Oh, boys, hold on. Quick, Matt, hand me that rifle.
Here.
King's found the answer to our problem. Look.
A caribou. He's running away.
Yes.
He'll only have a chance for one shot.
I know.
You did it. You hit him. Good work, Sergeant.
The caribou made it possible to keep the dogs on full rations. But now 20 days had passed, and St. Michael was still 200 miles away. In spite of the bitter cold and the heavy snow, the sergeant pushed on long after dark. But it was a night made brilliant by a full moon and the flaming northern lights. Here, the Yukon was several miles wide, and the team raced down the middle. Suddenly, King barked a warning.
Sergeant! On the bank!
Wolves. Must be over 100 of them.
They're coming straight toward us.
Gee, King, gee!
What are you going to do?
They're hungry. They're after the dogs. We can't outrun them. We'll have to fight them off with our backs to that drift there.
Yeah, I'll get the guns ready.
Oh, King. Oh, boys.
The sergeant quickly unharnessed King, and together with Matt, they stood in front of the team. The wolf pack swept toward them. Rapid firing cut down some of the pack, but the rest never faltered. The snarling tide raced on, and King leaped forward to meet the leader, ready for a duel to the death. The leader charged. His vicious fang slashed at King, but the great dog leaped aside, then charged back, looking for an opening. The wolf snarled his defiance and rage at being driven back, and once more he tried to rake King's throat. Once more, King avoided the deadly fangs. He found his opening and his jaws closed in a punishing hold. But in order to hold on, he left himself open to attack from the other wolves, and they moved in. So did the sergeant. With the butt end of his rifle, he clubbed them away from King.
Good going, Sergeant! Good going!
In a matter of seconds, the leader was dead. Matt had never stopped firing into the pack. And now, with their leader gone, they turned and ran. Attack became retreat. And another danger had been met and conquered. But St. Michael still lay ahead. And now the sergeant was only allowing absolutely necessary rest. King looked into his face as he patted the dog's head and explained the situation.
I know what you're trying to say to me, King. The team will work better if they can sleep a little longer. But the time's getting short. You'll have to make them work, boy. They can rest in St. Michael. All right, fella.
One, King! One, you husky!
Yes, King understood. He could sense the urgency in his master's voice. This was a race. But he knew that the team's strength was failing. So he threw his own great strength against the traces without any reserve to lessen their burden. He barked encouragement. And hour after hour, his champion's heart drove him on. All through the 21st day. The 22nd. And then, on the 23rd day, they saw the town.
That's it, Sergeant. That's St. Michael ahead of us.
When does the Portland Bell sail?
At noon.
Nearly that now, but we only have to go through town.
We can't lose.
King won't let us. Come on there, boy.
Like a silver arrow, King flew down the main street of St. Michael. The harbor was just ahead, and the Portland Bell could be seen at the pier.
Oh, no, no!
We'll make it.
They're pulling up the gangplank.
The lines are still fast. On, King!
A last valiant effort, and King reached the waterside in time for Matt Oliver to shout up to the bridge of the Portland Bell.
King, hurry,
Captain Stanhope, lower the gangplank. I have the Yukon Trading Company gold. We've got to get it aboard.
Lower the gangplank.
All right, Matt, we made it. Good work, King.
All right, let's get aboard.
and the gold was delivered to the captain.
Here's your receipt, Oliver.
Thank you.
I'd given up hope of receiving the shipment. What delayed you?
Delayed us? Delayed us? Well, it's a long story, Captain. And you're in a hurry to get underway. It'd take too long to answer that question.
Well, all right. Suppose we save the story for some long winter evening.
Agreed, sir. And you'll find it's worth waiting for. Goodbye, Captain.
Goodbye, sir.
At last, the sergeant and King could relax. And they stood with Matt on the pier and watched the Portland Belle sail out of the harbor.
The words are hard to find, Sergeant. But you don't have to be told how deeply grateful I am.
Well, Matt, why don't you thank the one of us responsible for our getting here?
I mean to. You're a good dog, King.
Only the best.
That's absolutely right.
Yes, King, you did a grand job. The case is closed.
In just a moment, Sergeant Preston will give you a preview of Friday's program.
Hurry! Remember, here's how you may win a bike, a shiny new Schwinn Deluxe Autocycle. Our big new Quaker Puffed Wheat and Rice Contest offers 101 of these fully equipped bicycles, each worth more than $79.
Enter now. Finish this sentence in 15 words or less. My favorite college pennant on the Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice package is...
Completing that sentence is easy. Fun. First look for the colorful college flags on the back of packages of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice. Then pick out your favorite and write down why.
Here's an example. My favorite college pennant on the Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice package is California. I like it because I want to go to college there someday.
Send your entry, together with your name and address, and one Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice box top to Bike Contest, Box 600, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Anyone living in continental United States can enter this contest, except employees of the Quaker Oats Company or their advertising agencies and families. Entries judged on basis of originality, suitability, and aptness. Duplicate prizes for ties. Judges' decision final. All entries and ideas therein become the property of the Quaker Oats Company.
Act fast. Contest closes midnight, Saturday, October 23rd. Mail entries at once. The sooner, the better. Send to Bike Contest, Box 600, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
These radio dramas, a feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, are created and produced by George W. Trendle, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. They are brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Listen Friday when Sergeant Preston and Yukon King meet the Challenge of the Yukon in the adventure of Parson Shorty Meadows.
The pint-sized parson who arrived in Selkirk wasn't the type of man we thought could stand up against the tough element in town, but we determined to keep him out. I knew we were in for trouble. When a big fire broke out at the cafe, King and I had our hands full. The showdown had come quickly, and believe me, we were all surprised at the way things turned out. I'm sure you'll like this tense and unusual story.
Be sure to hear this exciting story Friday. Till then, this is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long! For a delicious hot breakfast, eat Quaker Oats.
The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Yes, the giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats.
Delicious, nutritious, makes you feel ambitious.
The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats.
Say, boys and girls, do you want to be a star someday in sports and activities? Then start on good Quaker Oats breakfast tomorrow. Because nourishing oatmeal gives you more growth and endurance than any other whole grain cereal. Still less than one penny a serving. Quaker and Mother's Oats are the same. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Welcome. Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, OTRWesterns.com/Facebook. And we're also on Twitter, OTRWesterns.com/Twitter. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-986-8739. Don't forget to rate this show on iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. This episode's copyright under the attribution non-commercial share alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Hope you enjoy. Again, thanks for listening and have a great day.